Take your Bibles, please, and turn back to Acts chapter 20. And we're going to take a closer look at verse 24. Last Sunday, we introduced this verse as our theme text for this new year of 2024. And just a reminder, verse 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, if you weren't here last Sunday, or if you forget what we said last Sunday, I told you how I had been thinking about a theme that we could have for 2024. And I don't always do this, but for some reason it came to mind, well, let's check the scriptures to see if there's any 2024 in there that might be good to use for a church theme. So I began to search the scriptures for something related to 2024. I went through every book of the Bible. How many of them are there? 66. Looking for a 2024 reference that might be suitable. Do you know that there are 24 books, Bible books, that have at least 20 chapters in them? And in those 24 books, there are 15 that have a 2024 reference. So after perusing them all, I found one that I thought would be a great resource for us, a great theme verse for this new year, and that is here in Acts 20, 24. You can see on your bulletin cover that we've got the theme printed on there now, so that will appear there every week for the coming year and remind us of what it is that we ought to be doing as believers in Christ. We noted last week there are four statements within this one verse that we want to zero in on and kind of develop and dig a little deeper. Number one is the first statement, "None of these things move me." Now, last week we spent a little bit of time thinking about that statement from the Apostle Paul. And we discovered that the things he's talking about are found in the context from verse 17 down to verse 23. Those things that are mentioned there, he says, are the things that don't move me. They were things like, if you're going to Jerusalem, there's going to be nothing but bonds and troubles and persecutions awaiting you there. And he was discouraged from going by many, many people. But Paul said, none of those things move me. He's still going to do that which God wants him to do. So none of these things move me. The second statement is, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And we're going to unpack that little statement a little bit this morning. It certainly sounds like true humility on the part of the apostle, but I think we need to see it as a decision that he makes to not exalt self above something of more importance. And what would that be, that something of more importance? Well, he finishes up with the last two statements that we'll look at here. So neither count I myself dear, my life dear unto myself. The third statement is, so that I might finish. So that I might finish. Here is a clear purpose statement. And the question is, finish what? Finish what? And that leads us to the fourth statement, the focus. It's in two parts. He says that he might finish my course with joy. And secondly, finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And it's from that last statement that we've taken the theme for 2024, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So from these four statements, we learn, as the Apostle Paul testified here, that we too need to be, number one, unmoved by external things. None of these things moved me, he said. They were all external. They were coming around him, from unto him. Unmoved by external things, whether it's the world around us or troubles that we're facing or coming along. We should be unmoved by external things so that we might accomplish God's purposes in our lives. Secondly, we need to be unpersuaded by personal value. And we'll talk a little bit more about that this morning. Unpersuaded by personal value. He says, neither do I hold, do I count my life dear unto myself. Right? He's willing to forego things that maybe would be not necessary, but additional to life and his situation here, but he lets them go for a greater purpose. Thirdly, we too need to be purposed to finish. Purposed to finish, right? Paul wanted to finish his course with joy. Finish his course with joy, but so we all also need to be purposed to finish. And purposing is a very important attribute that we all can have as believers. It reminds me of Daniel when he was carried away captive into Babylon. He purposed in his heart that he would not participate in anything that the king of Babylon wanted for the Jewish captives to be involved in, whether it was the king's meat, the king's drink, or anything. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with anything that the king of Babylon wanted. And always for us, it's good to have a purpose and to finish that purpose. And when will the finish line occur? Probably on the last breath that we take here on earth. We are purposed until that point. Right? And we need to be mindful of that. And then lastly, we need to be to have a focused pursuit. A focused pursuit. Yes, we need to be purposed to finish, but we also need to be focused in that pursuit of the purpose. And so he says that he is focused, that he wants to finish his course with joy and finish the ministry which he has received. So all of these things are, it seems to me, are very important for the believer in Christ and is quite fitting for us for a theme for a new year, 2024. And we'll be looking at this verse. Probably next week will be our last concentrated look at this, but we'll review it throughout the course of the year. And I would submit to you that this final statement in verse 24 is worthy of the theme that we have. So our theme this year is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God in 2024. Is that not what the world needs? They need to hear the good news. And part of that good news is that they are sinners before a holy God, need to repent of their sin. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. That's the gospel message in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. And the gospel is so important and necessary to the eternal salvation of everybody that we need to be clear in proclaiming it as far as we can. So we considered in a bit more detail last Sunday the first statement, none of these things move me, and we went through briefly the context of verse 17 to 23, and if you missed that or you need a reminder, it's on our church website if you want to listen to it again or for the first time. So this morning we want to consider the next thing, the second thing Paul states in verse 24. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. I think it'd be a good start to understand what some of these words are that Paul is using. So if the first word is neither. Neither. It's the Greek word ouda. It's a conjunction. And actually joins together that first statement with the second statement. That is, with the same determination that Paul had to not be moved by external troubles, bonds, and afflictions that awaited him in Jerusalem, so too that same attitude affected his evaluation of personal value and things related to his life. Right? Neither. The first he said, these things don't move me. Neither does this. And so in that same vein, that same attitude, that same determination, we find the second statement. Then secondly, the word count. Count, the Greek word is echo. Echo, it means to hold or to possess. Right? To hold or to possess. And for all of you Greek scholars here this morning, let me tell you that it's a verb. It's a present active indicative, which means this is ongoing action. Ongoing. He does not ever count his life dear to himself. It's continuous action. And may I say that this is a conscious determination in which Paul does not hold his life with any selfish, self-centered, egotistical sense of necessity, right? Now, we might think, well, Paul, you are certainly being used of the Lord. I mean, more than half of our New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. Why wouldn't you want to make sure that your life is taken care of? Because it is, to other people perhaps, more precious than ever, than anything. But Paul says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. In other words, he does not hold his life in any kind of a selfish, self-centered, or egotistical sense of necessity. It's not that he doesn't hold life as important or certainly precious. I mean, when he went to Corinth, he preached the gospel. And he said, I didn't depend on any of you. Whenever I had a need, I went to work. And the trade that he had, which was tent making. And so he provided for himself. He provided for the needs of his body. But when it comes to comparing our lives with the service that we have for what God wants us to do, Paul is quite eager and willing to say, I don't count my life dear unto myself. There's something more important than just, you know, taking care of or looking out for this old life of mine. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. The third word is life. It's the Greek word psuche, often translated soul. But literally, it means breath, right? That's that's our what activates us as a living being is our breathing. When you stop breathing, you're not a living soul anymore. You have moved on into the next stage of existence in eternity. So psuche is the vital force which animates the body. It's also related to the animal kingdom as well. They have psuche. They breathe. They are living creatures. They're different than human beings, but still they have that psuche, that living soul, a living being. And so when Paul talks about his life, it's not just you know the things that he does or where he is or all about the body. He's talking about this very existence, the essence of his being, the fact that he is a breathing, living soul. And that encompasses everything about our lives, who we are, what we do, and so on. And then the last word to take note of here is the word dear. Timion is the Greek word, timion. It means of great price. It means precious, valuable, honored, something that is had in reputation, something costly. And so Paul says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I don't hold my very essence as the most precious thing about me in these days. There is something far greater than even that, even our own lives. So Paul is talking about the value of his life here. And while all of life is precious, Paul reckons that his life, in comparison to the ministry that he has and the gospel message itself, he considers his own life as nothing that's dear to himself. I guess we would acknowledge that this is completely the opposite of many in the world around us, where life is of most vital importance to them. They will do anything and everything to keep life going. Unfortunately for many of them, they think that that's all there is, what we have here. And that once this life is done, that everything's gone. Everything, there's nothing more. And so they put all of their efforts, perhaps all of their money, into making sure that this life, their life now, is well taken care of. That would be the world around us. And while life is considered so valuable as that everything and anything should be done to preserve and to enhance it, why else would plastic surgery be such a large business in the world today if people did not count life dear to themselves? Plastic surgery is the epitome of showing that life is, that they want to preserve their life and usually their looks in whatever it would cost through that surgery. I don't know about you, but I've seen some individuals. I think of, you remember Gilligan's Island? The movie star, Ginger. Yes. When she played on that sitcom, that was, what, 60s, I think? She was quite a beautiful lady. But I don't know if you've seen any recent pictures of her, because she had a lot of plastic surgery done, and she looks horrible. Just horrible. Not anything like she was back in her younger years. But the thinking is, well, I got to hang on to life here, and got to hang on to my looks and everything and that needs to be done. I'll pay whatever it takes. And the world around us is fast falling into hell itself. Let's understand that Paul is not saying that life is not valuable or precious. It is just that in comparison to Christian ministry and the gospel message, it's not that dear to himself or to us who know the Lord. It's a matter of priorities, really. Right? We take care of the body as necessary. You know, you wash your face, you brush your teeth, you wear clothes in the wintertime, and boots on your feet when it's snowing. But we do those as a necessity, but not as some kind of a value preserving the life that we have. There is something better and something more for us as believers. A matter of priorities. Whatever could have moved Paul to take this approach to his own life, that he would not count his life dear unto himself? What would motivate a person to do that? Certainly not the devil. The devil wants everybody to not only look after themselves, but even do more. That's what he did to Eve in the garden, right? Do you know that if you eat that fruit, you could be like God? And so that was very engaging for Eve and then Adam, and they ate the fruit. But here's a few things out of the scriptures that perhaps motivated the Apostle Paul to this approach. In Matthew 10, if you want to turn to the verses, you're welcome to, or you can just listen. In Matthew 10, 38 and 39, verse 37, Jesus tells his disciples, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, right? And if you do that, you will be my disciple. And in verse 38 and 39, Jesus said, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Right? And I think that was that was Paul's desire. He wasn't going to put all of his money into enhancing this life here and now. He wanted to lose his life for the cause of Christ, the ministry, the gospel. And so Jesus says, if you do that, you will find it. And we will find ourselves in his very presence in eternity. Also in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 and 23, Jesus says to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. The body that we have, as we showed on the screen earlier, statement is, live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Right? So live in such a way that our lives would be a testimony to the gospel and to what Christ has done. And as Jesus says, the life is more than meat and the body is more than raiment. And so Paul says, I don't count my life dear unto myself. There's something greater that I have a responsibility to do, and it's the ministry and the message of the gospel. Luke 14, verse 26, Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, you can probably suspect that there would be some who would take that to an extreme understanding. You compare this verse with what Jesus said in one of the other Gospels, that if you don't love me more than you love your mother, father, wife, sister, brother, and so on, you can't be my disciple. Hatred here is just a comparison. It's just an evaluation. Our love for the Lord Jesus and our desire to serve him would seem to be like hatred of our earthly family members. It's not that we hate them and don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. It's just that our love for the Lord Jesus and his service is more than the relationships that we have horizontally around us. All of those relationships, father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, are all important. And we need to watch out for our own family members. I mean, Paul said in Ephesians that husbands are to love their wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands. And that's not an example of hatred. It's an example of obedience to the word of God. And so don't go too far with the word hate here. It is simply a word of comparison, that our love for the Lord Jesus is so much that in comparison, our relationships with, earthly relationship with others would seem like hate. And of course, the world around us, they would see that and they would say, you hate your mother and father, don't you? No. I love my mom and dad. It's just that I love the Lord Jesus a whole lot more. And my relationship with Christ is so much more than any relationship I have on earth, because that relationship is going to last for eternity. And that makes it valuable. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I kind of think the Apostle Paul used the Lord Jesus as example, as a pattern for his own life. Christ did not love his life unto death. He was willing to give his life for the payment of our sin when he died on the cross. And I think Paul just picks up on that, saying, I don't count my life dear unto myself. There's something greater going on here. And the example that we have is the Lord Jesus, who willingly gave his life for the sheep. Seems that Paul is just following the example set by the Lord Jesus. And then one final one. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15, and of course there are others in the New Testament that we can look at, so I would challenge you to find a few more as you're reading through the Bible. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15, Paul says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The thing to pick up here is that Paul was willing to spend and be spent for the Corinthian believers there, willing to give all of his life, everything related to himself, for them, that they might be blessed of the Lord. And of course, his the struggle was that the Corinthians kind of turned on him a little bit. He said, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved, which is not a good thing, but it didn't deter him from not counting his own life dear unto himself. So I think those were some of the things that perhaps were working in Paul's mind when he made that statement, that in comparison to the ministry and the message of the gospel, his own life was something that needed to be taken care of, but not overly so. He would not consider it dear or costly or that kind of precious, because there was other things more important. So, beloved, this morning, let us be of the same mind as the apostle and the Lord Jesus. Let us not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That's Romans 12:3. We acknowledge that life is certainly precious, but not to the extent that we must do everything in our power to preserve it. For one day, our body will stop breathing, and our soul and spirit will enter into eternity. And we believe for the Christian that this will be right into the very presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven, which Paul says is far better than anything that we have here in this life on this earth. So let us keep things in perspective as well, and realize that there is something more precious to the believer, and that being the ministry as well as the message of the gospel. And we'll consider more about that, the ministry and the gospel, next time. Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We are thankful for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and for the Spirit of God moving him to pen words such as this verse in Acts 20:24. And I thank you that in it we can find a wonderful theme for this year, 2024, as well. And I pray that you would help us not to be moved by external troubles or bonds or persecutions or anything like that, from doing that which you have given us to do. Let us not put more value upon our life than is necessary, so that we might focus on the purpose of ministry and the gospel message. And I pray that you would just help us. And as we continue to reflect upon the things that Paul says in this one verse, I pray that you would help us in this year to be focused and pursuing the theme of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God throughout this year. And I pray you'll bless that word to our lives and to our church this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.